Welcome to CompTIA's Shark Bites podcast with Alan Shark, Executive Director at the Public Technology Institute.
Hi, everyone. This is Alan Shark, and welcome to Shark Bites, another interesting episode where we deal with technology-related issues having to do with local governments across the United States. And today, we are very fortunate to have Chris Cruz. Chris has a very interesting background and career. We're going to spend some time talking about that. So, Chris, first of all, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Alan. It's great to be here, and I look forward to having a very eventful conversation with you and the listeners.
Now, Chris doesn't always sound this garbled, but both of us encountered technology issues, and we were just lamenting how frustrating it is. We want everything to work perfectly all the time. It just shows that even the best plans don't always work out. But we seem to have a stable connection, so we're going to go ahead with this. I just recovered from 15 hours without power, and I know what that's like. And I was going to have to do all sorts of things to continue with the broadcast. But Chris kind of has been a California native. He started as an agency CIO with the California Department of Food and Agriculture. He went on to become Deputy Director and CIO of the California Department of Healthcare Services. He went on to become the California Deputy State CIO Chief Deputy Director, and then Director and CEO of the County of San Gapon. So now to the present, Chris is Tanium's SLED CIO. And technically, your title is Vertical CIO SLED. So Chris, again, welcome. Tell us now that you're on the vendor side, I know this is somewhat recent coming to Tanium. What is it like in this short amount of time looking at all the public service that you did in terms of you're on the other side now? What do you see differently, perhaps?
Well, I think, Alan Green, great to be here. And as we always say, when in doubt, improvise. I think the biggest opportunities that I see is to work across the enterprise and government. So now that I'm in this current position as the Tanium SLED CIO, I have the opportunity to effectuate change across all facets of government. And that's a great place to be, especially with information security. Now that cybersecurity, in essence, is the number one priority of public sector CIOs and their CISOs to address it effectively and mitigate risk at the lowest level, this is a really good position to be in. And I, look forward to influencing decisions with Tanium being a top-notch product to address those changes moving forward.
Well, you are working for a great company. So let's start going back. I kind of rattled off a list of positions that you've held. You're relatively young. You've done an awful lot. And what was it that attracted you to technology? Did you wake up one morning and say, hey, I want to work for government? We find that usually that's not the case, but maybe it is with you. What is it that got you into technology? And what was it that got you into that first agency CIO position?
Well, I think I had a passion for driving technology leadership, innovation, and transformational change, Alan. And I think I knew in order for me to be able to do those things at an executive level, I needed to aspire to make those necessary modifications and get to the right level of leadership. And in California, the agency information officer, there's actually 9 of them that manage agencies and departments underneath them. So they provide policy and strategic direction for technology investments and initiatives to each one of those department CIOs. And I felt like being in that position of authority, I could influence policy and transformational changes as leverage investments with technology. Prior to that, I was a project manager. So I had managed large system deployments in state government and was my first exposure in terms of how to align IT with the needs of the business initiatives and influencing change at the executive level. So that prompted me to want to become an executive level leader and really started my journey up the executive level ranks in state government.
Well, you certainly did. And you've had a list of great accomplishments. But it's always interesting when I see somebody excel at the state level, all of a sudden wind up in a county. So what was that? What was the motivation there? What was the opportunity that you saw?
Actually, there was a couple opportunities, and believe it or not, in educating most listeners, county government pays their executives much better than state government does. And so that was one of the driving influences. The other driving influence is I wanted to make changes at the resident experience and citizen engagement level. And Alan, I felt like that was very important, that I'd accomplished a lot in my 30-year career, 28 years up to going to the county, but I wanted to address changes immediately at the constituent level. So Alan, when you sit and report to a board of directors and a county executive officer, and you have biweekly meetings, the citizens come into these meetings and are very concerned about the topics and issues that impact them, in a very direct manner. And I wanted to be part of effectuating changes in leadership, policy, and driving innovation and transformation in San Joaquin County. So that was my motivation going, is wanting to make a difference. I've been a passionate civil servant for 30 years prior to my retirement almost a month ago. And again, making those tangible changes to bring a county up to a level of maturity, whether it be cybersecurity, digital services and strategy, application development, chatbots, is bringing information in the hands of citizens in this digital age. And those were the primary drivers that drove me out of my chief deputy director position. I was a governor's office appointee for 4 years. I could have stayed in that position up until I retired if I wanted to. I had a level of achievement and driving and building relationships and networking across state government. So that's what primarily drove me to San Joaquin County, to say, hey, I can make changes in the 11th largest county in California and bring them to the top of the heap, so to speak. And so organizations do yearly evaluations of the county, and the county is one of the top 10 digital counties in the country. And before I left, I was looking forward to seeing that county get into the top five. So those were the drivers, the primary drivers, but it was the motivation to effectuate change at the citizen level that drove me to San Joaquin County. And I know it's unique that people often don't do that, but those were the primary drivers for me to say, hey, let's go do this. Let's break down the barriers within this county. Let's remove some of the bureaucracy, and let's give the citizens what they need from a technology perspective.
Yeah, whether it's different or not, I find that citizens rate their local governments much higher than any other level of government. Is one of the other factors the ability to be more agile? I mean, did you find that the bureaucracy at the local level, I mean, we have bureaucracy in government at all levels, but did you find it more refreshing than you might have at the state level?
Absolutely. And I think that was a primary area, so I could, based on my reporting relationship in the county, was to the chief executive officer, and then I also reported to a board of supervisors. But yeah, we broke down the bureaucratic walls to get things done. In 2 years that I spent in San Joaquin County, I put a brand new email system in. I put cybersecurity tools like Tanium in across the organization to protect every endpoint in the network in the county, including the sheriff's office, the DA, and our major hospital and trauma center. But absolutely, the bureaucracy in state government is an all-time high. There's a lot of people you got to please up the food chain to actually get things done. And I believe that restricts government from moving quickly and being more agile. Where at the county level, in terms of agility, I was able to move quickly, build governance, build cooperative relationships at my peer level, and be able to effectuate and move change forward. So that resulted in a digital strategy for San Joaquin County, a 3-year strategy to move them forward, a 3-year cybersecurity strategy, and a modification and modernization of all the county's technology infrastructure and application development. So yeah, you're spot on. I mean, removing the bureaucratic barriers and having the necessary controls in place for what I call co-opetition amongst your peers at the director level was something I hadn't seen before in government. And it allowed us to move quickly and move in a way that created expediency for our citizens.
I certainly can identify with that. For all the years that I've spent with PTI and now CompTIA, there's a really great advantage when you're closer to the customer / citizen / resident, and you have a more focused kind of operation, and you're closer to all those people that you talk about. So when you do change, you can really see the results, not just a report, but you see it in the faces of people that you're dealing with. So you mentioned cybersecurity. I mean, while you were there, I think every CIO that I talk with, I think the greatest nightmare, the greatest fear everyone has is waking up one morning and find that they're a victim of a ransomware attack or something horrible has happened. And, you know, you're constantly just looking at your systems and you're constantly making sure that you've kind of addressed all the gaps that you know of and the like. I mean, you moved to Tanium, and Tanium focuses a lot of this. And I think you left right before the pandemic. Is that correct?
No, actually, I left state government in 2019 and took the job in San Joaquin County. So when the pandemic first hit, I was in the CIO position.
Okay. So one of the things that a term that I've used, but a lot of people on the civilian side didn't ever think about as much, is a term endpoint. You know, all of a sudden, you know, you, like everyone else, had to shift gears in the most dramatic of ways. And the great word we use today is the great pivot. At least I use that. And that is now suddenly you have most of the workforce working in remote locations, if not at home. And that means suddenly an explosion of endpoints. So it seems like that's kind of one of your focuses now, Attainium. Tell me more about endpoint protection.
Yeah, and I think I have a great story to tell. Obviously, in March of last year, as a lot of us were impacted by the coronavirus pandemic, as I was faced with that exact situation to send almost 7,000 people home, whether it be with their laptops or desktops, literally right off their workstations. And so one of the areas that I had to confront right away is getting endpoint threat detection and response out to every one of those endpoints that now are becoming people's workstations in their homes. So one of the areas that we addressed right away that was also in our cyber strategy was how do we manage and protect that? So we had an endpoint protection tool, and then we added Tanium threat detection and response across our entire network to ensure that any unmanaged endpoints now had visibility, and we could provide the necessary remediation at the endpoint for every one of those. And so Tanium was the primary provider for that. The other key area with endpoint protection that we also laid out is during that pandemic, I also rolled out Tanium's patch management module and capability to make sure that we're rolling out all patches to Microsoft Teams and other environments that we had just deployed as our basically communication mechanism across the county. So that was being done, and we increased our patch efficacy almost to 95% by using Tanium patch management. So having those automated tools run in place greatly reduced the risk and stress upon our resources, given the resource load it was now to work in this essentially virtual environment from an environment on-prem. So I think with those corrective actions and the fact that we utilized our network and integrated Tanium as our dashboard and response tool of record, we were able to get the right types of metrics across the whole organization to see where endpoints were plugged in or areas that became the primary focus in our network that potentially came vulnerabilities. We were able to mitigate at the lowest level. So what that meant is mitigating the types of ransomware attacks I had, anti-phishing, phishing attacks, and any other extraneous vulnerability that came across the network, we were able to manage at the lowest level through Tanium threat detection and response module. And that gave us great visibility across the entire network and really allowed us and the CISO to sleep at night knowing that there wasn't unmanaged endpoints being logged into the network. And if they were, we were addressing them quickly with the Tanium endpoint threat detection and response components using patch management as well to roll out any patches and automate issues. So if there was Microsoft vulnerabilities, if there was Dell vulnerabilities, if there's issues with SolarWinds, as these things came up during this virtual organization or environment that we found ourselves in, Tanium was finding those things and we were able to address them with them, the threat detection and response components. So very critical to have this umbrella across your environment. And it wasn't a nice to have, it was mission critical to conducting our business in the right way to carry on without any threats of cyber attacks.
You know, everybody talks about endpoint protection, and I think you articulated probably the best I've ever heard. Everyone thinks they have a solution, or everyone thinks they've got it handled, but anything that allows a CISO or CIO to sleep at night, to me, is got to be good. But let's talk a little bit about SolarWinds. I mean, that really put a chill through everybody in government, but in the private sector as well as the public sector, because, you know, we didn't kind of pay attention to this piggybacking effect or this supply chain kind of effect. I mean, was that a wake-up call to you as well? I mean, did that send chills down your spine as it did everyone else?
Absolutely. You know, those when the SolarWinds issues first came up, one of the areas we looked at through Tanium's threat detection and response process was, okay, let's find what any types of SolarWinds vulnerabilities we have in our environment and let's mitigate those at the lowest level. And so we were able to do that quickly and locate where we had solar winds running in the county and quickly devise a mitigation strategy to address it. And those are the kinds of decisions you need. You need the necessary metrics. And Alan, I always say what gets measured gets managed. And when you have those data points in your dashboards to be able to identify the health and wealth of your network, you're going to make better decisions and you're going to be proactive in terms of your responses to address anything that comes within your network that could pose serious threats. And so I think that's the area today that all of us as CIOs and CISOs need to be cognizant of. We got to get out ahead of this cybersecurity situation. This is our new World War III, and these attacks and stresses into the firewall of the network come, you know, almost daily, you know, in terms of hundreds, if not thousands, depending on the size of the government agency. So we got to be proactive in our response and ensure that we're constantly detecting and monitoring endpoints at the lowest level that are not managed. Because if they're not managed, then that's where your vulnerabilities are. And all it takes is one ransomware attack or breach on those unmanaged endpoints to cause great undue harm to your respective organization.
So the last number of years, Tanium has played a leadership role in CompTIA's SLED Council. And I'm wondering, as we think of SLED in its true sense, I mean, you're dealing with the state, you're dealing with local agencies, you're dealing with education. I'm in education where I teach at a university, but I'm also worried about K through 12. I think the universities have it pretty well figured out, at least the bigger ones. But what are you finding with K through 12? Because we have some students going through our certification programs and I'm hearing horror stories because many of these school districts are so small, so poorly staffed, trained, and funded. Does that present a particular challenge?
Absolutely. And I think that's the area I think where Tanium can come and help them is that the pre-configuration outside the box to set something up. Because not only, Alan, what's true in what you just described in K through 12, this is prevalent in government. Government no longer has a deep, talented bench to address, mitigate, and monitor the network on a consistent basis. And I think having threat detection, monitoring, and patch and asset management tools and the automated dashboard in place, that'll roll up all that data and give you kind of synopsis across your network. And quite frankly, this is what K through 12 is lacking today. They don't have that visibility of their network endpoints, especially now that you have students working or have students working in a virtual environment. And there's plans next year to go to a hybrid environment. So they're going to continue this type of education. They've got to secure and manage those endpoints. And I think it's all about education, training, and awareness. And the more that we can get in front of the K through 12 CIOs, their chief information security officers, and their executives, that we can educate them as to the risks of what they need to do and how to remediate those appropriately. And I believe Tanium checks all those boxes for them. So love to get in front of them to provide that necessary education, training, and awareness. That's going to be key in getting the right types of endpoint protection and threat detection and monitoring across their respective environments.
Well, having dealt with so many in K through 12 recently going through our programs, I have to tell you, there's a real hunger. So if we can help in any way get the word out, I don't think many of these folks are aware of the tools that are out there. Or if they know of them, I hear this defeatist attitude is as well, they don't scale for us. We can't afford that. What do you say about that?
I think the key too is governance and having the necessary policies in place. And I spoke to a cyber strategy. We've got to get those necessary processes in place. And I call those sustained repeatable solutions. And I think that will help build up the government and K through 12 maturity model to identify what types of security tools that they have. In terms of cost, there's an ROI in everything we do, Alan. I know when I brought Tanium into San Joaquin County, I used basically grant funds to bring it in the door and then distribute it across the organization. So it's being maintained and supported now through an indirect recovery, given that people see the value. But here's what I would say is that there's lots of grant funds available to organizations to manage and bring in, obviously, tools like Tanium that can protect across the endpoint of the ecosystem. And so I don't think today it's as big a conversation as that I don't have the money to do this. I think with Governor, basically President Biden's executive order and executive orders being carried out at state and county level that now say that you need to have these necessary requirements in place as a fundamental component of you getting federal money, this should no longer be an objection as to why you can't spend the dollars to basically double down and ensure that your environment is failover from a safety perspective. And that's what we have to ensure our citizens, our employees, our students. We've got to give them that sense of satisfaction, knowing that whatever private information that they're putting within their network, that is restrictive and it's secure. So I would say today that there's plenty of dollars out there within grants that are applicable to K-12, to state and local government agencies. And I was exposed to those grants here in California through Homeland Security, our Office of Education, technology modernization funds. So those are all dollars that slip into those particular areas of buckets. And now with the additional executive order coming from the Biden administration, there should be federal dollars earmarked within those grants that say, hey, cybersecurity is your number one priority. Here's the types of tool sets you should have in place to address vulnerabilities, asset patch management, zero trust authentication and verification of identity.
Well, I could not agree more, but it was even better hearing it from you. So zero trust has become such a buzzword these days, and I've heard a few real big techies say something like there's really no such thing. How confident are you that zero trust is the way to go?
Well, I think you have identity management, you have multi-factor authentication, you have a bunch of opportunities to, you know, manage and secure tools at what I call at the end user level. And I think that's going to be more important moving forward when we talk about zero trust. So if something is compromised at the end user level, then you need to have the necessary vulnerability and patching components with tools that we have at Tanium to be able to address that. And so it's kind of like a comprehensive layer that you need to have over your entire ecosystem. It's an umbrella to protect you from the rain. So you're right. You're only as good when it comes to zero trust as, again, your single point, your single endpoint that's managed and monitored within your network. And without that, zero trust is going to be a moving target. You can have all the things that I described, but you've got to have visibility and 100% management over your network. And that has to do with continuous monitoring, managing, and development. And I think that's where Tanium can come in and address that. But to answer your question, it's an enterprise capability, and it's a constant fight to be able to address zero trust at a 100% efficacy level.
Yeah, I kind of look at that as more of a process. It's like excellence. You know, you're never there, but you always strive for it. And, you know, hearing from Vincent Cerf and others who claim to have been the ones inventing the internet, and they did. They said, you know, it's hard to imagine the internet being what it is today. We never envisioned what it could do, what it is doing, and how it's being used throughout the world. But we built the system on total trust. You know, it was like, because the institutions that were the original partners were the military, research institutions, institutions of higher education, that they were the anchor tenants, so to speak. And it was an environment of trust. And now we clearly have moved into an environment of untrust. And so all the things you mentioned are very, very important. And so it is a journey as we explore our way through this whole kind of cybersecurity, World War III kind of, that you've talked about. So the last thing I want to ask you, as we are kind of at the time, ransomware has become such a pernicious type of attack. And it's partially because the pressure is immense. There's usually a time frame involved. And it stops government operations. And more recently, we see two things. One, well, three things. One, they are on the increase. Two, the ransomware demands in terms of Bitcoin/dollars has increased because they've been so emboldened. And number three, they're putting even more pressure on local governments and other public institutions by starting to release information, putting more pressure on public officials to pay the amount. Your thoughts on ransomware?
Well, Alan, I'll start by saying, you know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, right? And here's my thoughts on ransomware, because it impacted me when I was in my previous job in San Joaquin County. We had an issue in one of our organizations where one of our folks' IP address was hacked with ransomware. One of the things that, unfortunately, that we had in place is that threat detection and response found out that that endpoint was unmanaged. We had endpoint protection tool, but given that the endpoint was not managed, we couldn't provide the endpoint protection for something that wasn't managed. Without those proactive measures in place and what we did with Tanium threat detection and response, we wouldn't have been able to address that ransomware attack expediently, and that would have spread throughout the entire segmented network of the county. So So what I would tell you is that these things, you've got to be proactively managing and measuring ransomware attacks. You cannot rely on cyber insurance like a lot of government agencies do to purchase that to say, if we have a ransomware attack, we'll pay the fine and we'll move on. To your point, you know, they're releasing lots of government data now. And in these ransomware attacks, it used to be that they took your personal address book and your data. Now they're taking your inbox, your Outlook inbox or whatever inbox that you have in email, and they're taking that as well to compromise and embarrass you in public. So you're absolutely right. I mean, there's additional components now that cybersecurity hackers are now taking from people and extorting information to put your company or organization in a very bad light. And so that it's become more important than ever now that we're proactively managing and measuring what we're doing across our network. Because if we don't, it could result in not only you having to pay a ransomware fine, but millions of dollars possibly of you know, how can I say this, public embarrassment that can come to your respective institution as a result of that information being disseminated. You just don't want to do it. And that's where proactive management and monitoring of your network comes in, to be able to address every unmanaged endpoint and have that visibility in a dashboard that gives you that monitoring. Because without that, you're playing Russian roulette.
Yeah, and everything you say makes total sense in terms of the prevention and managing risk. But there's the other side of it, which is the whole issue of mitigation. You know, what happens if, you know, and I worry about backups that may not be backed up in the ways that lead to best practices. I mean, that could be a whole other discussion. Any thoughts on mitigation?
Yeah, I think, again, when you talk to mitigation, when ransomware attacks happen and someone takes the keys to the kingdom, so to speak, you're in a bad situation. You've lost all your data, your network, your servers have been scrubbed. You would have to rebuild all of those things from scratch. So in addition to paying the ransomware attack, you're hiring a company to come in and rebuild all your servers from scratch as well and reinstall all your operating systems and all your application systems. And so I think, again, mitigation would be is to make sure that you have endpoint threat detection and response across all of your endpoints, including your major application systems, to mitigate vulnerabilities coming into the front door, because those are big issues. And then also, too, that you have comprehensive security training within your respective organization, because a lot of issues that happen within organizations usually come from within, from our own employees that have access to critical and key information. So getting folks in place, getting education, training, and security in place, having people and staff go through annual to biannual security assessments and to pass a series of tests on anti-phishing, malware, and other remedial issues will help them, educate them, and also educate them against potential other employees who might be malicious in providing those types of issues or creating breaches or ransomware attacks within the organization. So that would be, I think, my recommendation from a mitigation perspective: have strong policies and procedures in play, password authentication policies, and all the necessary tools at the end user level. So your employees are educated as to looking at emails that come in that might be suspicious or other areas of employees that might be accessing data that they shouldn't be.
Last question. How do you see the role of artificial intelligence playing in all of this?
Well, I think AI is something that's coming. I mean, we've talked about, obviously, biometrics and other things and looking at using information for folks, obviously, your finger in terms of scanning and having unique processes in place. I think artificial intelligence is great in terms of having that, but that means additional levels of security that you need to have in place to manage those new innovative and transformative technologies. And before we get there, we're going to have to learn to secure it. So my recommendation would be that we bake in a security layer, a security application layer like Tanium, and everything that we do, even at the application layer and web layer, if we're going to get to that level of innovation and transformation in the future. Without that, again, we're opening ourselves up to further exposure with our AI, machine learning, and all those intellectual things, autonomous vehicles that we hope to do and aspire, because everything has a chip in it. And if it has a chip in it, it has an automated component that could be hacked by a cyber person.
I totally understand that. I'm hoping that AI, and as I see it now, will be something that will enable us to see patterns that us humans don't see and the anomalies that we don't see. So it will also be part of our toolbox of things that can help us prevent attacks. So I want to thank you, Chris. The time went by really quickly. You've been listening to Chris Cruz, who is the CIO of SLED, of Tanium, who has been a county CIO, City of San Joaquin, and three state agencies in the state of California with rich experience. Chris, I want to thank you for spending time and sharing your thoughts today.
Thank you, Alan. It's been a great pleasure. And if anybody would like to reach out to me, you know, I'm available as a public servant to provide them with any information they would like. So thank you very much.
Great. You've been listening to Shark Bites. Stay tuned for the next episode. We come out every other week, bi-weekly. Bye-bye.
This has been a production of PTI, the Public Technology Institute. To learn more, visit pti.org.